Okay, now that I got your attention, hello everybody, and welcome to my little lecture about switching to a Linux audio system. My name is George, I'm a member of the Open Source Audio Meeting Cologne, and in my demonstration you will get all the relevant information to start right away with recording on a Linux system. This demonstration addresses itself to Windows and Mac users who are interested in doing audio on Linux, as well as on Linux users who have never done audio production before. Well, you will find a lot of parallels between Windows, Mac and Linux concerning the workflows and the technologies, but there are also some particularities which I will going to show you right away. But first, let me do a little introduction into all this theory and all the terminology and things like that. First of all, well, if you want to start doing recording, you need a computer, of course, and you need audio hardware. Well, nowadays, most of the audio hardware is equipped with a USB interface. And my little demonstration, I'm using such a USB audio interface. It's a, well, combination of audio interface and a controller from Native Instruments. It comes with two inputs, two outputs, and an integrated MIDI interface. And for doing audio record, MIDI recording, I'm using this little keyboard. It's the Korg Nano Key 2. Okay, normally the audio hardware is made for Windows and Mac OS. Windows users might ask themselves now, is it necessary to install a driver on Linux? That's not necessary, because Linux comes with a hardware driver which is called ELSA. It's deeply integrated into the Linux system, and recognizing and detecting this audio hardware is done automatically. Well, okay, now we got this. The next thing, of course, you will work with digital audio workstations. On Linux, there are a great number of different digital audio workstations, all with their own concept, all with their own layout and things like that. For my little demonstration, I will use the Ardour digital audio workstation. It's, well, the most mature digital audio workstation on Linux. And, well, it orientates itself on the worldwide appreciated and known Pro Tools sequencer from Avid. And well, when you are working with digital audio workstations, of course you want to refine your recordings with sound processors, and on Linux you can also use plugins for that. And in difference to Windows and macOS, on Linux there are several plugin formats. The most modern plugin formats nowadays are called LV2 and Linux VST. Well, Windows Mac users might think now VST, well, that's very known, and yes, indeed, Linux VST comes from the company Steinberg, who has developed this interface format mainly for their Cubase and Nuendo digital audio workstation. But nowadays VST is, well, let's say, the most used plugin format in the freeware world, and well, it's also existent in the Linux world. But beware, if you now think you can copy your Windows or Mac OS plugins onto a Linux system, unfortunately that won't work, because Linux VST plugins have to be specially compiled for a Linux system. So unfortunately this makes no sense. Well, and now I'm coming to a particularity on the Linux, in the Linux world, and these are called sound servers. A sound server is a background application that manages all the in and outcoming audio streams, and in addition to that, such a sound server is also capable of distributing all these streams between several active applications. Okay, Windows and Mac users now think of the Rewire interface, which was developed by Steinberg and Propellerhead. But on Linux, those sound servers are far more capable than this Rewire interface. For working with a sound server, for doing audio production, there's one sound server that's highly recommended for using, and it's called JACC. JACC, that's an acronym for JACC Audio Connection Kit. And the advantage of using JACC is its low latency behavior. So if you encounter delays or blurry sounds, things like that, it will not come from the JACC server. There are other problems, for example, at the audio hardware or things like that. Okay, so now we got the picture, we got a hardware driver, we got the sound server, and we got the audio applications. So now let me show you a little audio scheme so that you can get an idea of how this is all working together. We got the audio hardware, which is detected by the hardware driver, ELSA. Then we got the audio applications, which are started from the Linux operating system. Those applications are capable of loading the plugins. And then we got the JACC sound server, which is, well, let's say, some kind of layer between the hardware driver and the audio applications. We can see him, well, as some kind of, well, communication officer between the hardware and every active application. So you can connect everything to everything from everything. The possibilities are, well, nearly endless. So that's this picture. And as I have told you, JACC is a background application. Then you might ask yourself now, how can I manage and define parameters on the JACC server? Well, nothing simpler than that. For this purpose, we got several front ends. What I'm showing you here is on a KX Studio distribution. And KX Studio is coming with a front end that's called Cadence. And as you can see, JACC status, the server is already started. And at the same time, in this front end application, you can also define the parameters of your audio hardware. We can do this on clicking on the Configure button. And there you see JACC settings. On the left side, the column, you see ELSA as the hardware driver for the USB hardware. And in the device area, you see that I have already hooked up the RIC Control 3 interface as an input and output device. You can also define the number of input and output channels, as well as the sampling rate and the sample buffer size. So, doing settings in this dialog is done within any seconds, so that's not a problem. Okay, the next thing I want to show you is this row over here saying ELSA MIDI. You see, ELSA MIDI bridge is running. This starts another background application, which is called ELSA to JACC MIDI Daemon. Its purpose is that the USB MIDI hardware is visible in the sound server environment of JACC. So if you want to do MIDI recording with it, it's necessary to start this process. Okay. And the next thing, as I have said, you can connect everything to everything with everything. There is another application which is called Katja. And as you can see over here, it's some kind of graphical routing matrix. All those rectangles are representations of inputs, outputs, and software. For example, the rectangle saying system with the blue capture arrows are the representations of my physical audio inputs of the audio interface. And on the other hand, system playback are the physical outputs of my audio interface. In the middle, you see the representation of the Ardour digital audio workstation. We got two tracks, Sonoy arrangement, final. That's the stereo track where I've played the jingle at the beginning. And you can see we have lines between the physical inputs, outputs, and Ardour. These are the connections, and as you can see, capture one and two are automatically routed to the stereo audio track for the jingle. So you can disconnect it in choosing the right channel and doing new connections is simply done by clicking and dragging from the source to the destination. Nothing simpler than that. So I think you get now the picture of it, and I think we can start recording something so that I can show you the possibilities on a Linux system for doing recordings only in a digital audio workstation, as well as with the capabilities of the sound server. So my first recording will be an audio recording in using the internal plugins of a digital audio workstation. So let me create a track and loading some plugins. As you can see over there, type, there are two types, LV2, which I have mentioned already, and LUTSBAR. LUTSBAR is, well, nowadays a little bit outdated plugin format, but it's still existent and still in use. It depends on what kind of digital audio workstation you will use. Not every digital audio workstation is capable of loading every plug-in format. It depends what you will use. Ardour, for example, is also capable of loading Linux VST plugins. But now, for the moment, let me choose some plugins for my first recording. It's the room simulator, a phaser, and the red foot pedal. So now you see over here in the channel strip, I have loaded three plugins. You can open the user interface in a simple double click. And let me now tweak the parameters a bit. Okay, the next thing I have to do is arm the track for recording, pushing the in button for getting the direct monitoring. So, and now I'm taking my guitar. And let's see what happens. Do we have sound? Yeah, we got sound. So, I'm now ready for recording. Let me tuck in the metronome and... okay. Okay, now deactivating. Yeah, thank you. It's just the beginning. So now we're turning over to disk so that we can hear what we have saved on the hard disk, and let's check the recording. Yeah, okay. That's our first recording. This workflow is very known in the Windows and Mac world. And now for my next audio recording, I will use an external application that I hook up with the capabilities of the Jack server. So first, let me make another audio track, and as an external application, I'm using the Rekkerek guitar effect suite. It's, well, let's say the equivalent to Native Instruments Guitar Rig or IK Multimedia Amplitube. So I got the right preset in it, so we can put it down. And now we are switching over to Katja. And you see, I got now here the Rekkerek application, but there are no connections between Ardo and Rekkerek. So what is it what I want to do? I want to put this effects application between my physical audio input and the audio input of my newly created audio track. So for better understanding, I'm switching over to the second input channel. Let me deactivate all these routings there. And now it's like doing an effect chain on a guitar pedal board for your guitar setup. So now I'm clicking Capture 2 to the input of Rekkerek. And the output of Rekkerek, well, it's going to the input of my newly created audio track. So back again in Ardo, let me arm the track. And now we should hear a nice little distorted sound. Yeah, okay, that's it. So again, we're ready for recording. So let us check it again. Yeah, nothing simpler than that. So, and you might wonder yourself, what I have shown you with audio is also valid for MIDI. So my next recordings will be MIDI recordings. And my first track is a track where I will gonna use an internal virtual instrument. So, and for that, I'm choosing the very, very famous Synet Sub Effects synthesizer. It's, well, let's say, it's nearly the same as the very famous Korg M1 audio workstation, and well, Synet Sub Effects reflects this in the Linux world. And again, we can open the user interface with a simple double click. Now, let me choose a sound that's SuperSaw 2, and now we can close it. So we're ready again for recording. So, and when I'm now typing in some keys, we should hear some sound. Oops. Oops, nothing's coming. Well, then let's switch over to Katja again. And as you can see here, this rectangle, the output of my nano key, there is no connection. So we only have to do a connection between the output of my NanoKey keyboard to my newly created MIDI track. Oops, done. So, and when I'm now typing in some keys, well, okay, now we get sound. So, again, ready to record. Okay. So let me tweak this recording a little bit. MIDI, quantize. Quantizing in quarters. Okay, so let's check this again. Yeah. Okay, and okay, first a little bit sip of coffee. So, and now guess what's coming next? Yeah, okay, a MIDI recording while using another external application. And let me first create a track, this time without any virtual instrument. And as an external application, I will use, come on, the hydrogen drum machine. Normally, that's a whole production system where you can program patterns, you can chain patterns to whole songs. It comes with an internal mixing desk and an effects section and things like that. And well, it's an external application. It has got no interfaces. And for my demonstration, I will abuse hydrogen as a simple sound source. So we can close this. There's nothing else to do in it. So, and now let us think, what is it what I want to do? I want to play on my keyboard. What I'm playing on the keyboard should be recorded onto Ardour. And at the same time, my playing should trigger the sounds in hydrogen. And of course, I also want to hear what hydrogen is making for sound. So let's switch back to Katja. And there you can see we got a MIDI rectangle and an audio rectangle of hydrogen. As you can see over here, the audio outputs are directly routed to the physical outputs of my audio interface. But that's not what I have in mind. So let me disconnect them. And instead of this, I'm routing the audio outputs directly to the main stereo bus of Ardour. This is done this way. Well, you can also create another stereo audio track and route the audio outputs of hydrogen directly to this stereo audio track for extra recording the audio. But for my demonstration, routing it directly to the main stereo bus is sufficient. Well, okay, now let's recapitulate it. I want to play on my keyboard, and my playing should be recorded in Ardour. So the first thing is I'm making a connection to my newly created MIDI track. So Ardour is aware of what I'm playing. So, and now the next thing is I have to connect the audio, the MIDI track with the MIDI input of hydrogen. We got the MIDI output of my track, and I'm connecting it with the input of hydrogen. So let's get back to Ardour. Let's arm the track. And when I'm now typing in some notes, we should hear some drum sounds. Yeah, okay. That's it. Let me record it again. Okay. Again, a little bit of tweaking. Again, in quarters. So, and there you have seen recording in the normal way that you know from Windows, Mac OS. It's just as simple as that. And using the capabilities of the Jack sound server while using this Katja front end is also not so difficult. And well, the next steps you can do, you can refine your mix, For example, Ardour comes with a mixer where you can refine all those recordings. You can edit them in the same way, copying, pasting, trimming, things like that. And after that, if you are finished with it, you can bounce your project to a stereo file. These are also very common processes also in the Linux world. Well, okay, and when you're now finished with your project and with all your active applications and all these complex routings, when you finish it and when you close it all down, and well, let's say 2 days later, you want to recall this project again, well, is it necessary that you have start every single application one by one and redo all these routings again? No, that's not necessary because Linux also comes with a very handy solution. There is a type of application which is called Session Manager. And here in my setup, we got Claudia, and Claudia is such a session manager. This application recognizes and memorizes every step you do for your audio setup. It memorizes which applications you have started, as well as all the connections. You can see the graphical representation is a little bit different, but it reflects every aspect that I have done in Katya. You see Rekorek over here. There we have the Hydrogen MIDI part, the Hydrogen audio part, things like that. Well, and now you can save this setting onto a file. And the next time you want to start your project, the first thing you do is to start the session manager. You look up for the file, you load the file, and everything will come up automatically. It's pure magic, including every audio routing. So this is this, and I hope you have seen now that's neither difficult nor is it rocket science. Okay, now let us recapitulate what you have seen and learned so far. And let's start again with this Linux audio scheme. As I've told you, audio hardware detected by the hardware driver. We got our audio applications, and Jack as the communication officer between the hardware as well as between every active application. Okay, now let me step a little bit more back and let's start again with the audio hardware. There is really a vast amount of different audio hardware out there in the market, but nowadays nearly every modern audio hardware is equipped with a USB interface. So as I have said it several times, recognition of USB hardware is done via the ELSA driver, but could it be that there are any restrictions? The answer is, well, very simple. There are no restrictions. Nearly every modern hardware, as well as an older hardware, for example, this little interface now is about 10 or 11 years old, and it works without any problem. I have to admit, there are some restrictions, and there are pages on the internet listing what kind of hardware will work and will not work. But for USB, the number is really, really, really low for this. So starting right away with audio, with USB hardware, there will be no problem. Okay, the next thing, let me step a little bit more back. That's for the newbies who want to install a Linux system. You might ask yourself now, what kind of Linux should I use for audio production? And that's a really good question, because out there in the Linux world, There are endless distributions, all with their own look, all with their own combination of applications and things like that. But I get some recommendations and again, some solutions. There are three multimedia audio distributions out there. And those distributions do have several advantages. For example, they are also coming with nearly the same amount of audio applications. For example, Ardu is included in every one of them, as well as Jack, and for example, the Hydrogen drum machine, things like that. The other advantage of choosing one of those three is AV Linux is based on Debian, and the other two distributions are based on Ubuntu. And those two distributions are, well, let's say, the mainstream in the Linux world. So if you encounter any problems with your distributions, you can be sure that there is a giant help base out there for getting solutions for your problems. I'm coming to the next advantages in choosing one of those distributions. Well, no, it's valid for every Linux distribution. You can download a Linux distribution. You can put it on a DVD or a USB stick, and then you can load your Linux distribution without installing anything on your computer. So you can evaluate and test Linux without doing any harm to your computer. For example, my demonstration is done with such a live installation, and nothing was installed. And afterwards, if you have made your choice, then there are some more choices. If you want to install Linux, you can install it as a single operating system, for example, on an older computer, or you can install Linux in parallel besides your other operating system, which is also valid for Windows and macOS. So these are very comfortable and convenient solutions. So this is this, and the next thing, let's summarize the most important terminology. Again, hardware driver, ELSA, the sound server, first choice for doing audio production, the jack server, and well, the, well, okay, popular, but the most modern plugin formats nowadays, LV2 and Linux VST. And well, okay, you have seen it in the plugin manager of Ardu. LUTSPAR as well as DSSI are the, well, predecessors. They are a little bit outdated, but they are still in use. And the last thing I want to show you is this. I have shown you the capabilities of the Jack server with the Cadence, Katya, Claudia applications. These applications are coming together with the KX Studio distribution. You can install these applications manually to the Linux distribution of your choice, but there is also another front end which is called QJack Control. And you can be sure that every Linux distribution is coming with QJack Control as a front end. But it depends on to your own likings and to your own taste what kind of front end you will gonna use. Me, myself, QJack Control, I find it a little bit, well, old and not very comprehensible with its Windows 95 touch and things like that. But you have to you have to try it for yourself. That's the last hint that I want to give you, and maybe you are coming, you can deal better with QJack Control than with Cadence, Katya, Claudia, things like that. But I think doing this on Katia, Claudia, and Cadence was much more comprehensible than this. So, in the end, if there are no questions, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I want to wish you a nice and wonderful day here at the Sonic Convention and with all the other interesting and exciting lectures. Thank you.
We have questions. We can use the microphone so it's recorded on the video.
Hello, thank you for the talk. Sorry, my English is not very good.
Oh,
I try. So you said that nearly all hardware is supported.
Yeah,
but often the hardware comes with a configuration software like this, where you can choose the buffer size and something like this.
You come a little bit late, huh? Okay, let me show you this. We got here the cadence dialog, and when you dial in the jack settings, you can see over here. You can dial in the sampling rate, the sample buffer, and much more. So this is all included in there. You are right. If there are some extra applications for programming, let's say exotic parameters on an audio hardware, well, that's not as easy. But the main functions. Like, for example, controllers on a USB keyboard that you will use for tweaking, for example, the cutoff frequency on a synthesizer. This is done by using the capabilities of the digital audio workstation. You don't have to use a special editor for it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, also in my experience, really, nearly every modern hardware is recognized. I have used it with the Mackie Onyx USB interfaces, which were released half year ago, and it works without any problem, even with a Raspberry Pi computer. And the same goes with the Eirik I.O. keyboard from IK Multimedia. The only problem I had was working with the Line 6 audio interface, but that has to do with licensing the audio hardware to the server of Line 6. That's really an exception, but most of the audio hardware should work without any problem.
Thanks. Sorry, may I go first? Thanks. Do you also have any experience with recent multi-channel audio hardware like Focusrite boards, Sapphire, etc.? Any experience if these also work as flawless as you think for USB devices?
On the USB, in the USB sector, no, I don't have any experience, but I can assure you, working with a FireWire audio interface, that's really no problem, because you can define the number of input and output channels. And for example, if you choose an 8-channel audio interface and you only dial in 2 input channels, Katia will only show you 2 input channels. But if you want to have more input channels, you can change the number of input channels and Katia will show you your newly defined input channels.
I also have a question about this.
Beware.
excuse me?
No, go on.
All right. I also have a question about the session management.
Yeah.
You said that it will store everything and restore everything. Does it also mean that when you make some changes inside a Rack-a-Rack or Hydrogen, for example?
No. That's That's for sure. If you do any editing in the applications, you have to save those editings firstly onto your applications. So when I'm creating a new guitar effects chain on Recorec, that's for sure. I have to save it onto Recorec, and the session manager will not cover this. No, that's clear, I hope.
But is it possible for the session manager to like know which file on the disk is associated with the session? Like, we need to open Hydrogen with this and this file for this session.
No, that you will do in the saving. Normally, yeah. Maybe Niels can answer this a little bit more better.
Yeah, it depends on the session manager. There, he said earlier, it's a type of software, session manager. So, for example, the non-session manager, which is the name, non-session manager, that saves the settings and knows where the files are. But so there's a general approach which just starts your program and makes connections. And this works with every software, but if the program supports the non-session manager protocol directly, then everything is saved. So you can't even save manually anymore; it's just automatically saved. So that's maybe we will see that during the day or tomorrow. Let's see.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, thanks. Great talk. I wish I'd been told this when I was starting out. I think we're all in computationally hep, and we know how a lot of this stuff works. But I have a lot of friends who haven't even used a command line before, and I just wonder if you have any tips for people who want to try this out, who have absolutely no idea even about how to create a bootable USB, you know, really basic noob kind of thing.
No, when you're looking on the internet for a Linux audio distribution, there are always very detailed information of how you can put it onto a DVD or a bootable USB media. For example, for doing a Linux distribution on a USB stick, you have to use a little application, for example, UNET Boot. You can get this application for Windows, Mac, as well as Linux. And while using this little application, then the ISO file of the Linux distribution will be decompressed and be written on the USB disk. But it's always always explained on the internet pages of the Linux distributions. So this should not be a problem.
Right. So it's read the freaking manual kind of thing.
Yeah. Reading the fucking manual. Well, if you want to get some knowledge, you have to do this.
Thanks.
Unfortunately. Okay. Any other questions?
Or any comments? Anything you would like to add?
Yeah, in relation to dual booting and multi-things, if you are used to using a Mac, it's easier to use something like VirtualBox and then run your Linux inside the Mac without fanning around the hard drive. It's live, but easier. And live distributions, you can make life... It doesn't matter, you don't care. Because once you start fixing your grub partitions, you can be in a world of pain, even if you know what you're doing.
Okay. Then we have some time to prepare the next talk. Thank you again, Georg, for the talk. Yeah. And from now on, if anybody asks you, how do I do this, just tell them we have a recording look at this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.